Today on Compassion Radio.
You have to be willing to give up, to release.
And in the giving up, a blessing. Because you realize we didn't need these things. And I'm not saying you need to give everything away to feel the blessing. I mean, we're not saying that. We're saying that things we hold on to that we think are very important become less important, amazingly enough. And then as you enter into that place, he's taking you farther and deeper. It's just blessing upon blessing. I think it's just one of those things that you don't know those things that God has for you until you just, in a submitted heart, say, yes, God, do whatever you see, you know, in me that you have for me.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. You know, most of us think we know ourselves pretty well. Who we are as people, what we do for a living, our plans for the future, and so on. And that's the story of Mark and Sidney Londaire. That is, until God called them to go across the world to become missionaries in Ethiopia. I'm Frank Montenegro. Please stay with us as they share their thrilling stories of the power of God to break through, even in the darkest of situations. Here's the final part of that conversation.
I'm about to ask the question, as I'm watching your husband smile at me now. Mark, there's no doubt in my mind that during all of this time, your wife's voice is not the only one being heard here. That God was using you. What was God doing in you and through you during that time of this transformation in this village?
Oh, I think it was an interesting mix of things as I'm watching my wife's enthusiasm into an area which, by far and large, I was nervous about. And interestingly enough, on so many kind of crucial days and events, I was out of town and it would happen. You know, I mean, why it couldn't
like
happen
the
days, why it couldn't happen the days I was there. Because I felt at the first part almost uncomfortable that this could be something spiritually dark or could hurt her or something like that. But it's interesting how it just happened as it did. You know, one of those things, she just had to trust God that he's going to protect her and that because of Sydney's heart in it, that he was going to see her through whatever it was. I wanted to be part of it. And I was. I was there for the first showing of the Jesus film when the son came in with the large head. I was just watching something transpire that to me was probably the biggest transformation of a life before or after I have ever seen happen in a man. You know, we hear these stories, but we saw this man change from darkness to light. And to have him at our house and to have conversations with him through Testify, our interpreter, and ask him questions was just amazing to see how thoroughly his heart had changed to God and love for God. What really showed me something is there in the spiritual realm, there is a connectivity, both dark and light, and a going into it that rarely we see here in America. And what I mean by that is he knew the darkness of Satan and all about that. When he changed, he knew about God's love and exactly what was God, what was not. Yes. More than I've ever seen in a person.
The contrast is obvious.
Oh, it was just amazing.
Which means real discernment for him, too. Even as a baby Christian, he can discern truth from error.
It seemed something that would take us years to learn a discernment. He had almost in a moment's time on that. He became one of those people you just wanted to have more and more conversation with here his previous life and what he had come into now.
This is important stuff. Mark and Sidney, you are absolutely at the very center of the things that we at Compassion Radio have striven for decades to communicate to our listeners, that the spiritual reality of Christ coming in to transform lives, transform communities, and do everything we read about in the First Testament is still happening today. And I'm going to connect a couple of stories that I know about you, and you can tell us how much you want to open up to share with our listeners today. But I know that 20 years ago or so, we sat around a table together, and we talked about the importance of blessing. How much God had put that desire in your heart to pursue that you believe that God had some very special blessing for you that he made your heart yearn for it. And he raked you over the coals at that time, that God was reserving what seemed to you a real blessing in your life. Because of that hard spiritual lesson that you all went through during those years, he continued to increase your hunger for seeing his righteousness expressed, and it made you a blesser, and that you, without fear, were willing to move in and become God's blessing over people that other people wouldn't even bother to approach because the fire was in you so strong. I don't know how much you would like to talk through that issue right now, but I sense that God had prepared his work in Africa by demanding of you a sacrifice many years before, of putting it completely in his hands, that the blessing that you desired in your life would only come back to you after he had poured it through your hands to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the time when my dad was dying, my dad asked what I wanted from him. I told him that I wanted him to give me a blessing, that I wanted him to give me the mantle that God had given him that he didn't do. Because my dad definitely knew that he was to be a missionary and to go out into the field, and then he didn't do it. And that was one thing that he really regretted. I don't know why, I just felt that I wanted to fulfill that thing that God had put on him that he hadn't done. But it was deep inside my heart. And so I asked my father if he would give me that blessing and that he would pray over me. And at the time, he was like, don't you want me to give you buildings or money? And I'm like, no, I just really want you to give me that blessing. Give me that mantle. Pass it on. Mm. As the days progressed, my dad didn't give it to me. Mm. And he just kept saying, I need to think about it. And so one day I was just praying to the Lord, and the Lord just flat out just told me, I'm going to be the one that will bless you. Your father is not going to be able to. By then, my dad was very sick and he was going into coma. He came out of his coma and he woke up and he said, I'm ready to now pray for you. And then he goes, what time should I pray for you today? How about in a couple hours? He goes, okay. Well, within that 2 hours, he went back into the coma and he never came out of it. Yeah. But then right after he had passed, that's when we had this opportunity to go to Africa. And now I'm going to be honest, I wasn't thinking about going to Africa. I was just wanting the heart. I didn't know what God was going to do. I thought it was going to be Europe. But when the opportunity came for Africa with Mark, I felt that I needed to be open and just let God do what he wanted to do. And then when we went there, it just captured my heart like none other. I mean, honestly, we gave up everything here in America. It was nothing. I would do it all today again. There's no possession that I could have possibly owned that would be more special to my heart than to experience the hardships and the wonders of what God does when you're on the field, and to watch what love really is with people, and to be able to just pour yourself out on them. It's just not you pouring it on them. They pour it back on you, and you learn love in a whole different way as well. Now, I feel richly blessed. I feel like when I go to church services and they talk about, oh, you know, we need to go out there and we need to do these things, I'm thinking, God, you've let me go to the ends of the earth. I just feel so blessed. I mean, the last time that we were there in Ethiopia, we met up with another ministry called Heli Mission, and they specifically go out with their helicopter to the farthest villages. That's their whole goal. You know, we had been traveling over land to get to different Muslim villages to share Christ, but Mark especially was wanting to go even further, but we only went as far as we could go. And then here their Lord just connects us up to the Heli Mission, and then they were taking us to villages that had no road access and on top of mountain ridges, and they would drop us off and let us show the Jesus film to these tribes. And the first tribe that we went to, we stayed in a mud structure. And at one time, it was another witch doctor's hut, and he was giving the earliest evangelist problems and saying to the people, don't listen to him. That night, after the evangelist had come, thunder and lightning had come, and the lightning had struck the center pole of his mud hut and burned it to the ground. And so he ended up in all these different circumstances. And from what he had heard, he ended up giving his heart to the Lord. And then that became the church for this little village. So after they'd been evangelizing them and sharing Christ with them, then we came in, got to visually show them the Jesus film, which is so impactful to them, especially they'd never seen any kind of media before, to encourage the evangelists there and to share the story about Gopilio, because they're certainly dealing with witch doctors in different parts of the mountain ranges there. I feel blessed. You feel blessed?
Oh, absolutely.
If you were to describe for people who are in the faith or people that have been Christians for many years, perhaps, that want to feel the blessing of God, you obviously are an end of the earth kind of example in this. But if they were to pray and ask God for blessing in their lives, how would you encourage them to pray?
Well, our perception of ourself is limited to what we see in ourselves. And I think when we sense a leading of God and we want to go there, at least in my case, I had to ask God to take me to this place he wanted me to be because I didn't really know how to get there. And I'm not talking about a foreign country or Africa. I'm talking about a place of the heart, a place in the spirit in which you want to be so open and submitted to God that that's the important thing. That it doesn't matter if you're in your own neighborhood or another place in America or to the end of the earth. It's just asking God to do this work in the way he sees it works in the individual. And I can remember just laying that out before God that I don't know what exactly this looks like, but please work in my life, in my heart. Change me that I may see you more in the way you want me to see you.
Is that the first way station on the way to blessing, or is it itself a blessing?
Well, I think it's a blessing that, as faith is a gift and a blessing, as you grow and you ask more, it just expounds on itself. As you ask to be in this place, the journey to get to that place is exciting and is wonderful.
Sacrificial. And, you give up a lot too. You have to be willing to give up, to release.
And in the giving up, a blessing.
Yeah.
Because you realize we didn't need these things. And I'm not saying you need to give everything away to feel the blessing. We're not saying that. We're saying that things we hold on to that we think are very important become less important, amazingly enough. And then as you enter into that place, he's taking you farther and deeper. It's just blessing upon blessing. I think it's just one of those things that you don't know those things that God has for you until you just, in a submitted heart, say, yes, God, do whatever you see, you know, in me that you have for me.
And it doesn't mean that it's all going to go easy. That's the thing. When you get there and you get into that whole different culture and you deal with different demonic things, I don't know, you still see it as a blessing. You just see it as a privilege that God says, this is what I have for you. And just to be dependent on him in every bit of it, in the hard part of it, and then also the fruit of what you see God do.
That's a beautiful answer.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. We are so excited to tell you about our Compassion Radio Bibles Project. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. Let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
We've always encouraged our listeners to pray risky prayers because we're asking them to take into their hearts things they may never have considered before, or places they've never cared about, or people they've never loved or met. But I think you brought to life a few key people. This witch doctor, who now seems to be a very good friend of yours.
Yeah.
An eternal one for sure.
Yes.
God has increased your tent in a big way. I sense that you've been gifted the blessing that you sought from your father many years ago. In that, he probably has blessed your father by allowing that Passover through him and onto you. And he didn't neglect you. He did not forget you. Does God, when he takes things away from you or receives your sacrifice, does he leave a vacuum behind? Or does he fill it with something specific?
I think God does many different things in different ways. I think, you know, God is never put in a box at how he does something. We'll all experience it differently. I think for us, as we were willing to give things up, willing to say yes to him, not even knowing what that was, as you obediently move forward, there's the exciting part of looking where he's leading you and just fills anything that you might have felt in the loss in. I think Sydney wrestled more with kind of spiritual battles. I think she's a little bit more spiritually discerning in that. I wrestle with more personal things. deep wrestlings about myself. And it was interesting how God showed me many things which have strengthened me personally. I found that to be such a transforming time in my life that had nothing to do with me giving missionary stuff. It was just along the way happening. God is in the business of changing lives. Mine was changed radically by going to Ethiopia, and it had very little to do with what I did or what you can do. God can use anybody, and he'll work on you in ways that you'll never understand unless you get to the end of the earth, the end of yourself.
Yeah. And the end of yourself is the end of the world. I mean, it's the end of your experience. It's where you let off, you let God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can feel like that, very much so.
And I imagine that a lot of people are hearing some real inspiring words from both of you in the programs we've done this week. And they want that. They want to buy in. They want to experience God. And they're scared to death to step off the ledge or take the plunge or whatever the metaphor is. But God did bring you to that point where you were obedient enough to say yes, at least once. Just following that first step. And for you, it was a big one. You went all the way across the world. But he enabled you to make that choice. He also prepared your hearts over all those years with all those hurts along the way to prepare you for what he had for you, not just through you.
Yes.
That he met you there. Mm. I sense that. And thank you for bringing it back with you, because we needed him badly here too. Mm. We still do. So as we bid adieu to you for right now, I wanted to ask lastly, what's happening with this witch doctor? What's going on back at that old hut down the hill from where you lived in Ethiopia?
Well, he has Bible studies every week with all the neighbors. They all come to his hut still. He's been going through a lot of persecution. After he gave his heart to the Lord, he was followed by hundreds of people that worshiped him, loved what he did for them, because he would give them blessings and curses and curse their enemies and, you know, help their businesses grow and all kinds of things. But after he gave his heart to the Lord, his wife started backing away from God, and she started really coming against him. He kind of walked alone for a while. She was frustrated with him because you've provided all these years. Now what is your provision now?
Yeah.
And like, what does the witch doctor go into? So we kept praying and asking everybody, please pray for the witch doctor to find a new business and career. And we bought him some donkeys, trying to create another bit water business using donkeys to haul water, but that didn't go well. So one day he comes over and he keeps asking for different twine and different things from us to build something. And he brings us down to his mud hut and he's built this elaborate Fred Flintstone loom so that he could weave these rugs. And here's all these hundreds of strings and these crazy primitive pulley things and all this stuff sitting right next to the cow and the chickens that are tethered on a little stick next to him. And he's weaving away. And I said, Gopilio, how did you learn how to do this? He goes, I just prayed to Jesus and told him I needed provision. And he told me what to do. I go, how did you know how to build this? He goes, Jesus taught me. This is so beautiful. It was just these beautiful rugs that he was making. I thought, God, you're so fascinating. Our idea is what we think he could do. And God just pops this idea in his mind and tells him exactly how to put it all together. I just thought, Lord, you are so creative and so amazing.
Our God is an artist and an engineer.
Yeah.
And he's still engineering hearts.
Yes.
And it sounds like he's probably making some beautiful things now. And I'll bet the gospel's woven into those fibers.
Yes.
What a beautiful story. Mark and Cindy Londaire, thank you so much for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.